Welcome to the Burden and Blessing Podcast, a study and discussion forum on the truth of God's Word. Our CPR series looks at certain topics that come up in life, and we attempt to discuss them in a way that relates to everyone. At times, we bring in the arguments of those opposed to the Word of God in order to practice contending for the faith that God gave His church. It is our prayer that you will be equipped to give a defense for the truths of the Christian faith with humility and respect.
Welcome back to Burden Blessing. I am Pastor Neil Radical. Joining me today is Pastor Nathaniel Mayhew with a special podcast focusing on Thanksgiving and how we have so much to be thankful for. Nathaniel, so glad to be able to meet with you and discuss with you this important topic today. How are you?
Very well. Like you said, we have a great deal to be thankful for, don't we?
Yes, we do. Lot to talk about. I think you have a unique way in discussing with you earlier way of looking at Thanksgiving and how you're going to handle it and covering it with your congregation. Let's just discuss that a little bit today. What's one way that you can kind of categorize the various areas that we can be thankful for?
Well, I don't know if you have a tradition like this in your house, Neil, but a lot of times, going back for a long time in our family, a lot of times when we sit down around the Thanksgiving table, we have the sort of the tradition or custom of going around the table and presenting something that we are thankful for. And it's really interesting to hear some of the things that, you know, and I've got kids from, you know, 19 down to 5. And so it's kind of interesting to see the things that come out of your kids' mouths as far as what they're thankful for. And so what I did in connection with this is just thinking through the whole idea of being thankful. I think part of it is we have to be careful, because a lot of times we can present thankfulness as something that we must be. We can turn thankfulness into law, sanctification, which it is.
It reminds me of Lent in some ways, where it's like you have to give up something for Lent. Well, you have to be thankful.
Right. And that's not at all the way Scripture presents it. And so what I did is I went through and I studied both through the Old and the New Testament to see things that Scripture presented of individuals, Christians in the Old and the New Testament, and what they were thankful for and what the situation was in which they presented their thanks to the Lord. And a pattern kind of emerged. And that is that it reminded me of the three articles of the Apostles' Creed and Luther's explanation, in which he presents the gifts that God gives to us, what we would call first article blessings, second article blessings, and third article blessings. Okay. And a lot of times in our lives, we focus on the first article blessings, the things that mostly deal with our physical lives. And yet there's so many things that we can also be thankful for because of God's gift in the second and the third articles, things that come to us through Christ and through the Holy Spirit. And so I thought that would be a beneficial review for us.
Yeah, that sounds great to me. You mentioned we'll come back to that for one second. So you're talking about doing that in the sense of the creed, the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit, and focusing on all the blessings from there. You mentioned about your custom in your family, or throughout your family's history, you've had this idea of telling one another as family members what you're thankful for. We've done something similar too. You asked me about that in our own house, where a few years ago, my wife put out a thankful jar, and we tried to throughout the course of the year put a little piece of paper or somewhere, a prayer that God has answered or something we're thankful for in that jar. Then around Thanksgiving, we open the jar and start taking turns reading through them. So something similar to count our blessings. But when you talked about the history, what do you think? Why we mentioned Lent? Why do we celebrate Thanksgiving like once a year? Do you know more of the history about that? As far as, you know, it's a national holiday. Where did all this come from? I mean, most of the time we think of the pilgrim stuff, right?
Right, right. And that in American history, that would be true. I mean, you have all the Thanksgiving pageants that people will put on, schools will put on, and they always have these hats and pilgrim hats, and always goes back to the pilgrims. And it's kind of an interesting story. It goes back to the 1600s when the pilgrims came over to the United States. And it's an interesting story because when they came over and they landed on the shores of North America, that first winter, about 50% of the settlers died in that first winter. It was so severe. They weren't used to it. It was so different than what they had experienced in Europe.
Does not seem like a reason to be thankful.
Exactly. So you get through that first winter, and you'd think, oh, you know, what a horrible situation. They're going to return home, and they're nothing to be thankful for. But what's interesting is they went through that first winter in 20 and 21, and even though all of those people died, when it came to the following fall of 21, the surviving settlers set aside a three-day festival for giving God thanks for delivering them through that first winter and for providing for them now during that second year, the summer. And that's what became known as the original Thanksgiving here in North America. And so throughout the colonization of the United States, there were a variety of different places and locations where that concept of Thanksgiving kind of took a grasp and held on.
You said that was already back in 1721?
1621. All the way back to 1621. So we're 100 years, 150 years before the founding of our country. And so it was kind of sporadic during those first 200 years or so until the 1860s. And it wasn't until the 1860s when Abraham Lincoln then set aside Thanksgiving as a national holiday, which would be celebrated at the end of November each year. So it was kind of based on what happened with the Pilgrims, but it then became a national holiday. And what I think is interesting about this is that, you know, originally Thanksgiving wasn't an American Lutheran holiday. It wasn't part of a pericope, our series of texts. It wasn't a day that was really celebrated in American Lutheranism, but it became a part of that. And I think that's really appropriate because if you go back and you take a look at the Old Testament, there were all kinds of days of Thanksgiving that were set aside in the Old Testament,
right,
where God's people would, after their harvests, they would offer sacrifices of thanksgiving to the Lord.
Yeah, they would build
set aside
altars.
The first fruits. Yeah, they would build altars, and so while it came into American Lutheranism in a very unique way, and you might even say in a secular way, because it was the government that established that day of Thanksgiving, it is very, very appropriate that we as Lutheran Christians do set aside a day of Thanksgiving at this time of the year to give God thanks.
The harvest at the end of the year, right?
Sure, sure.
Harvest those blessings.
And again, if you go back to both the 1600s and the 1800s, you know, when those two things in our history have come about, isn't it interesting that those days of Thanksgiving were set aside after days of difficulty, where there was loss, where there was frustration, where there was severe difficulty? So in the days of the Pilgrims, when they lost so many people, and then right after the days of the Civil War, when there was so much hurt and hardship in the days of the American Civil War and Lincoln, that yet people focused on the blessings that God had given even in those days of difficulty and hardship, and how appropriate that is for us as Christians.
Yeah, you're focusing on attitude. So
yeah.
I think you're hitting the nail on the head. You know, we're talking about the history of Thanksgiving, but really it's the why are we thankful, which most people would understand, but thankful even in the midst of difficult times. So let's go back to what you said about the whole using the creed as a way of – almost like a way to pray for our thankfulness. Is that the way you're describing it? Explain more about this idea with using the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit for Thanksgiving.
Sure. So again, if you think about what we've talked about as far as the history of it in the United States, if you take that and you go back into the Old and the New Testament, you see the same thing, that many times the examples that we have of people giving thanks to God are examples when they're in a time of hardship. When they're not in a really good place, but they're in a very – they've come out of a very difficult place.
I was just going through someone today as an example, Joseph, throughout the hardship of his whole life. You know, in Genesis 50, he's telling his brothers, hey, you meant this evil against me. I'm basically thankful to God because he meant to provide for our entire household and family and all the people of the land. What you thought was evil, I'm giving thanks for because God was good.
Right.
Lots of examples like that in the Bible.
You could go to Joseph and you could say, you know, he could have said, oh, poor me, pity me, oh, my life is so horrible. But no, he saw the hand of the Lord in those difficult times.
Right.
And he trusted.
There's no hint of doubt.
No. And it's not that there may have been. There's no, you know, we sometimes run into that in our own lives. But what we see in the life of Joseph is that he trusted in the Lord's promises to him, and that even in those difficult times, the Lord would fulfill his promises and that he would bring about good, even in those situations of difficulty. So if you go into the first article, and these are the things that we usually give thanks for when we're going around the table at the Thanksgiving, you ask the kids, you know, what are you thankful for? Oh, I'm thankful for the turkey. I'm thankful for the mashed potatoes.
Turkey.
Okay, that's great. Guess what? As you go into the scriptures, you know what one of the things that is very common that people give God thanks for? Food. Okay, this is a first article blessing. What does God do? He says, I'm going to send my rain on the just and on the unjust. I'm going to allow my sun to rise on the wicked and on the good. What does God do? He provides not just for believers, but for even unbelievers. And one of my favorite examples of giving thanks for food comes from Jesus himself. Think about the examples that we have in the feeding of the 5,000, the feeding of the 4,000. You think about the example of Jesus when he's there in the upper room sitting around with his disciples, and what do the scriptures tell us? That Jesus took the loaves, and when he had given thanks, he distributed to them.
It's reminiscent of the feeding of the 5,000 too, because he first gave thanks before he started dividing it up.
Absolutely. Yep.
It's almost like he was saying, okay, I'm going to remember when I did this for all those other people, which I'm sure it was a habit for them to do that as well, but I wonder if they remembered him providing miraculously the food, but now he's miraculously providing his body and blood too. It's a different podcast there, but you're absolutely right. I think it focuses on lots and lots of Psalms focus on the provision of God's material blessings. And that's what your point is with the first article.
Right. You know, there's so many examples of that in scripture of, you know, the fact that the Lord does provide us our food. And if you think about that, Neil, what a blessing that we transfer to our children and to our children's children, the idea when we sit down to eat, just like Jesus did, that we recognize as we pray that these blessings that are sitting on the table around us come from the hand of God. So great.
There's a neat little book it's a children's book. I think it's called I Thank God for Macaroni and Cheese. I don't know if you've ever seen that before. It's a really neat little book. It's about a little girl trying to realize why she is praying and giving thanks to God for the macaroni and cheese. And now each one of they got a little picture of macaroni on there and the cheese, but it goes back to where those things came from, you know, and then it goes back to the wheat and the rain that God provides, just like you said before.
Sure.
And really at the end of it's a fun little story. At the end, the girl says, I can see now how I want to give thanks to God for the meat, you know, and the hot dogs and all different things that we love. And teaching children, just like you said, where do these things really come from? Unless God blesses the land, unless God blesses the people, you know, we're going to not have those blessings that we take for granted so often throughout the course of the day.
Sure. So backing up to Jesus for just a minute in the feeding of the 5,000.
Yeah.
Again, what's interesting is that Jesus gives thanks. What is there? He's got a couple of loaves of bread and a couple of fish. Not enough to feed that many people. You know, the people didn't have it, and yet here's Jesus giving thanks for this food. So, that's one of those examples, again, of here, you know, Jesus is giving thanks in a situation where there would not have been
enough. It's hopeless. It's like, what are you giving thanks for?
It's a hopeless situation.
It's nothing. Right. That's not going to feed anybody, Jesus. You're crazy.
And that's exactly what his disciples said. So there's one area, again, of things that we would be thankful for as we're sitting around the Thanksgiving table. We see the example of Jesus. Maybe a couple of other examples of first article blessings. Health and healing. One of the texts that you often find for a Thanksgiving Day service is that of the Samaritan who had leprosy.
Mm-hmm.
You have the 10 lepers that come to Jesus and they ask, they plead for his healing. And he says, go show yourself to the priest. They're returning to the priest. On their way, they're healed. And so of the 10, one of them returns back to Jesus. And this is recorded in the Gospel of Luke. I love this. Here's Luke, the physician, and he's recording the healing of these lepers. And we're told one of them, when he saw that he was healed, returned and with a loud voice glorified God, fell down on his face at Jesus' feet, giving him thanks. wow. Again, out of the darkness of despair, what happens? God provides, in this case, healing for this man. And what does he do? He returns to give God thanks. Now, here's again what's interesting. He wasn't forced to do that, was he?
It goes back to what you said earlier about the have
yeah.
to.
Right. Yeah, it was a byproduct. It was a natural byproduct. He said, look at what the Lord has given to me. How can I not give him thanks?
Which when is why Jesus – well, yeah. Oh, go ahead.
Well, when we recognize those blessings,
well,
what else could we do?
And that's why Jesus, I think, is surprised. Where are the other nine that were healed?
Yeah, right.
He's
right.
Like, wait a minute here.
This should be a natural byproduct. Why didn't it happen with the other 90%? And think about those percentages. Isn't that often true with us in our lives that 90% of the time we don't even realize the blessing that God has given to us?
Right.
We aren't appreciative. We are not thankful for that. And that again is it's a gift of the Spirit. It's a work of the Spirit to produce those thankful hearts in us, just like He did in the Samaritan.
Well, and that's why the Lord talks about them as fruits of faith. And it's basically a harvest of the Spirit, like you're talking about.
Right.
Reasons to give thanks. Nice. I think that first article makes total sense. God the Father lovingly providing for us what we don't deserve. And we often, just like in your illustrations you gave, the scriptural accounts, we do not always give thanks as much as we could. And I think that's probably because we're not taking time to recognize those blessings. Or, like we just used as your illustration at the beginning, if we don't take time at Thanksgiving with our family to discuss what we're thankful for, then they can easily go overlooked. Doesn't mean we have to, but it's a great thing to do because we're taking inventory of how God's blessed us throughout the day or throughout the year.
Let me give you one more example of a first article blessing. And you know, these first two, I think, are probably more on our radar, you know, food, health, healing, those kind of things. One of the other things that I was really struck by in my study of the thankfulness of believers in the Old and the New Testament is how often Paul in particular gives thanks for the first article blessing of fellow believers.
Yeah, giving thanks for you always in my prayers.
Yeah.
Every one of his letters starts out. Yeah,
almost every one of them says, I thank the Lord for you. Wow. You know, Philippians and the Philippians and the Colossians, the Thessalonians, Timothy, Philemon, all of these groups of individuals as well as individuals themselves like Timothy and Philemon – Paul recognizes the great blessing that God has given to him through these fellow Christians. And I think that's one of the things, Neil, that at least in my own case, often falls through the cracks.
I love you too, Nathaniel. It's okay.
Yeah, exactly. No, that's exactly it. You know, how much we recognize, we see those blessings, but do we really give God thanks for them like we should? You know, all of the gifts that the Lord has bestowed to our fellow pastors and teachers, our fellow lay members, our, you know, all of the people around us and the gifts that God has provided, wow, those are things that we should be thankful for. I thank my God upon every remembrance of you for your fellowship in the gospel from the first day until now. That's such an important, and that is a first article blessing.
Well, I think the relationship we have with our Heavenly Father is one that you're speaking of, is that fellow relationship with fellow Christians. The little things we don't even realize that we take for granted, that maybe you want to spend time at your parents for Thanksgiving, or your children want to spend it with you. That's something to be thankful for.
Sure.
A lot of people dread going to their in-laws or so forth. It's just like, okay, if you don't do that, that's something to be thankful for. And what's the, you know, how can we work on that relationship so that we can be thankful for it? What can we do to remove some maybe bitterness or those other feelings that get in the way of wonderful holidays like Thanksgiving?
Lead us
into the second part, though. That would really focus more on Christ then, with talking about that relationship and forgiveness and so forth. So I'm assuming that's where you're going with that. Tell me.
Yeah, second article blessings deal with the work of Christ. And again, I kind of base this off of Luther's explanation of the second article. So in the second article, Luther emphasizes, you know, that he has redeemed me, a lost and condemned person, purchased and won me from all sin. And so one of the key blessings that Paul again emphasizes is the gift of salvation. Listen to the words that Paul wrote to the Colossians. This is in his first chapter. He says, giving thanks to the Father, who has qualified us to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in the light. He has delivered us from the power of darkness and conveyed us into the kingdom of the Son of his love, in whom we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins. That's three verses, and it is packed full of blessings of salvation. So you've got the inheritance. Okay, the inheritance that we receive as a result of our adoption into the family of God, that is not something that we have earned or deserved. It's completely by his grace. He's delivered us from the power of darkness. He's conveyed us into the kingdom of the Son of his love. He has given us redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins. You know, these are all examples of second article blessings. These are ours because of what God has done for us in the person and the work of Christ.
You know, I was noticing when you read through all that, it's just struck me, most of those blessings you talked about with the second article, we talk about Jesus' whole life and ministry, but most of those blessings hinge on Good Friday. And weren't you and I just talking about the other day the difference between Black Friday and Good Friday? You know, the whole concept of, you know, everybody thinks of Thanksgiving, maybe the first thing that comes to their mind is, yeah, I'm thankful for this, but I'm also looking at Black Friday shopping and that sale. But everything you talked about with the second article, with the blessings from the Lord, really hinges on a redemption, a purchase being made. So I think there's a fascinating connection between what most people look forward to with Black Friday shopping is to the purchase that Jesus made on Good Friday through the blood of Jesus Christ, our Savior. I think that's one of those connections I want to talk about more this week with family members or even in the services that we have, that important connection between the two.
Well, and think about it from this perspective, Neil. If you don't have these second article blessings, the first article blessings are much more limited in their benefit, aren't they?
Well, they're temporal.
Exactly. But God gives us the first article blessings in order to receive the second article blessings. And those second article blessings really give much more value to the first article blessings of, you know, the continuing to preserve us in this life, giving us this life, the fellow believers that we have. All of that we look forward to the blessings that he's providing for us in eternity. Those are eternal blessings now as a result.
Yeah, you're going to have to explain that a little bit more. What do you mean by the
– If God gives us food in this life, a first article blessing, that's only going to do us – it's not only going to benefit us now. But if he has redeemed us from sin, then those gifts of food, of clothing, of house and home and all of those things, he's preserving us so that we have life with him in eternity. Now, the fact that he has given us life has eternal benefits, not just, like you said, temporary or temporal benefits.
That makes more sense. Now, I do think of a number of passages that Jesus uses illustrations of food, or the Word of God uses those illustrations to benefit for us for eternity. I think of 1 Peter, like that we're growing by the milk, you know,
right.
You're hungry, thirsting for that milk of righteousness of the gospel of Christ, so that we'd be growing in that Word, so that would lead to eternal life. I see what you're saying. It makes a lot of sense.
Yep. Now, going on to the third article, you see the same thing again. So the second article builds on the first article. The third article builds on the second article. So the third article blessings are those that are bestowed upon us through the Holy Spirit. He brings us to faith. He keeps us in the faith. And these are important also, as we recognize that if it weren't for the gift of faith through the Holy Spirit, the second article blessings of Jesus' death on the cross and salvation would mean nothing to us. It's through the third article blessings that the second article blessings become ours. Does that make sense?
It does. And actually, it struck me, because isn't that way our triune God works too? Jesus says he always obeys his Father's will. So he's really building on his Father's promises. He was there in eternity with him, our triune God. And then the Holy Spirit, Jesus talks about how he will take from what is his and communicate that to us. He told the disciples that he'd bring to remembrance. So really what you're saying is we can be thankful, if I'm understanding you correctly, our blessings are multiplied as we look at 1, 2, and 3 of the articles, but it's really the same way that God builds on his word of promise within our triune God as well. Or is that a miss?
No, I think that's right. you've got the, you know, the first article, blessings, creation and preservation. The second article, blessings of redemption, purchasing us from death. But it's through the third article, blessings of sanctification, conversion, that those blessings of the second and the first article become ours, again, not just now, but for eternity. That's how we receive those blessings and how they become even more meaningful, like you said, with the first article blessings. So the third article blessings, again, I was struck by the fact that the Apostle Paul emphasizes the blessing of faith, but what's neat is he emphasizes or gives God thanks for the blessing of faith in others. And that is another pattern. It's a consistent pattern throughout the writings of the Apostle Paul, where he says, I thank my God always concerning you. Why? For the grace of God, which was given to you in Christ Jesus. He doesn't just say, hey, I thank you that you're my friend. I thank you that you are going to be with me in eternity, that God has given you grace, that you have been enriched in everything by him, in all utterance and all knowledge. And then he says, and that the Holy Spirit will confirm you to the end, that you may be blameless in the day of our Lord Jesus Christ.
What does that mean? That he would confirm us to the end?
That he would continue to keep us in the faith. The Holy Spirit brings us through the Word of God to know Jesus as our Savior, to trust in Jesus as our Savior. And then not only does he bring us to believe that, but through the word, he continues to nurture and sustain our faith throughout the days of our life, that we would have that hope of eternal life with Jesus forever in heaven, that he would be – when Jesus returns again and he comes and he calls us all to give an account, that he would see you and me as blameless, not because of what we have done, but because of what Christ has done for us. And that is the work of the Holy Spirit in bringing us to faith, covering us with Christ's righteousness by faith.
It's a preservation of the faith, which
right.
goes hand in hand, which you're talking about us being thankful for how God preserves us physically as well.
Physically, right. Yeah. Physically, but also
more
spiritually.
Important, spiritually.
Yeah, okay. Absolutely.
So
that's kind of a neat blessing.
Well, absolutely. And I think the other thing that strikes me with the third article too is that, you know, obviously with Jesus' redemption, we speak about his resurrection also, but you mentioned the point that the Holy Spirit communicates to us the blessings of that resurrection as well. And it struck me as you were talking there that I don't remember the last time, you know, around a dinner table where we're talking about our thanksgivings, or I never wrote down a piece of paper, I'm thankful for the resurrection.
And yeah.
I'm thankful that even though some of my close family members, my own children may die, or my parents, the resurrection means I'm going to get to see them again. That really should be the forefront of what we're thankful for, shouldn't it?
Absolutely. And we kind of focused on that at Easter time.
Yeah.
But I think a lot of times we lose sight of the fact that every Sunday when we get together for worship, we are celebrating a mini Easter.
That's true.
It is a celebration of Christ's resurrection once again every week. And that should be a focal part of our worship, that we are reminded, and not just our worship, but our daily lives, that we have the hope of the resurrection, that Christ, because of his death, he has defeated death for us. And as a result, death has no power over us, does it? We are walking through the valley of the shadow of death, and we need not fear because Christ has defeated death for us.
Yeah.
And that, again, becomes ours through the Holy Spirit. Luther says that on the last day, he will raise up me and all the dead and give to me and all believers in Christ eternal life. This is most certainly true. That's one of those third article blessings that is ours by faith. Paul says, if Christ is not risen, you're still in your sins and your faith is futile. You know, so that truth, that confidence of the resurrection of this physical body on the last day does give us much to be thankful for.
I know you were working on a summary here as we're wrapping things up. I know you've been working on your services for Thanksgiving here. And I had some room in the back of my bulletin, so I put down, I have so much to be thankful for, but didn't list anything after that. And I thought, well, that's kind of everybody can say that. But then I found a different quote, just kind of looking for some pictures or something else. And it says, I put this after that. I have so much to be thankful for. And then I wrote after that this little phrase I found: don't think of the things you didn't get after praying. Think of the countless blessings Jesus gave you without asking for them.
Yes.
And I think that summarizes all three points that you really well pointed to us with the creeds, is that look at all our Father gives to us without us asking for it. You know, I love that phrase. I've used it several times in the last couple of weeks. What if God only gave you tomorrow what you thanked him for today? I know it's a popular phrase. It's like, what would I even have tomorrow?
Right, exactly.
But all the things that's why I love that phrase. Think of all the countless blessings Jesus gave you without asking. That's going to be material things. That's going to be our faith. That's going to be his forgiveness that we didn't deserve in the first place. And that's going to be that word that continues to nourish and strengthen, and you use that word confirms us until that end, as we're thankful to that resurrection as well. So it's a fascinating discussion. There's so much that we can really truly be thankful for. And that's why doesn't 1 Thessalonians 4 say, pray without ceasing. Give thanks always.
In everything.
Yep. And there's always reason to be thankful. And like you said right away, no matter what the circumstance too, which is where we hinted Joseph and all these other people in the Bible that gave thanks when they really shouldn't have had reason to give thanks.
From an earthly perspective,
they knew there was reason to give thanks to God. Very good. Yeah. Do you have any other closing thoughts or comments? I really appreciate the insight and the discussion here. It's good reminders.
No, just that reminder that the more we're in God's Word, the more aware we are of his blessings, and through the Holy Spirit, the more thankful we will become by his grace.
Amen to that. Yeah, I totally agree. Well, my continued blessings to you. I'm very thankful for you for the opportunity to discuss this, and thankful for all the different ways the Lord blesses us. I would encourage anybody who's listening to this to count your blessings instead of your crosses. Count all the different ways that God is, as you're counting your blessings and can't even name them all, think of all the different ways that God has blessed you, even in the ways you wouldn't even expected or asked him to do that. I think that's a great exercise to do, not just during Thanksgiving, but throughout the course of the year. Well, please continue to listen to our podcast. We enjoy this opportunity. Subscribe and share these posts if you think there's others who need to hear these wonderful reminders from the Word of God and this discussion. And Lord bless you on your Thanksgiving and on your travels, and we'll hopefully catch up with you next time. Thanks for joining us.
We hope that you will join us next week for another episode of Burden and Blessing Podcast. Our goal is always to bring you the whole counsel of God. Until next time, go in the strength of the Lord and preach the Word.